Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 acid popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey everybody, my name is Doug and I love movies. This is Doug Loves Movies coming to you from the Earwolf Studios in Hollywood, California. Can we see the Hollywood sign from here? No. It's that way? Oh, yeah. We're not even facing the right direction. Wrong window. But Earwolf Studios, of course, is the home to great podcasts like Comedy Bang Bang, Scarborough Country, and Who Charted, just to name a few. And this is Tuesday, October 25th, Two Oceans 11. Since the last time we spoke, or I spoke and you listened, I recorded boner eps of this podcast and the Benson Interruption podcast at the Gramercy Theater in New York City. Great shows with great guests like Nikki Glaser, Michael Ian Black, and first-timer Jim Gaffigan was on Doug Loves Movies, along with New York One reporter, anchorman, I should say. He's never out in the field. Pat Kiernan was there. It was amazing. Those are available for purchase for $2 in the comedy album section of iTunes soon or now. Right? Bets Interruption 9 and Doug Loves Movies NYC 3, to be more specific, so if you're wondering which ones they were exactly. The Doug Loves Movies is a fun one because finally audience members got more drunk than me at a live Doug Loves Movies. And so you'll get to hear, if you like hearing the name Lars von Trier yelled over and over again, then this is the boner ep for you. And if you've already heard it while listening to this, I'll just tell you right now, the pink box was full of cookies. I know, it's not the greatest twist in the world, but we made a big deal out of this pink box, and then we never said what was in the box, because the lady finally told us afterwards.
This is some Seven shit up in here.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone was hoping it was Gwyneth Paltrow's head, but it turns out it was just cookies. And so that wasn't really a twist at all. It was a pink box. It would look like it would have cookies in it. But when she held it up, for some reason, everyone got excited because she wouldn't say what was in the box. We're having a contest of sorts to determine which comedian friend of mine will be joining me and members of Weezer in a taping of Doug Loves Movies on the Weezer Cruise in January. So far, it's between Anthony Jeselnik and Nikki Glaser, because it has to be comedians who I know and would want to have on there and who also want to go. You can't vote for somebody like I'm sure Jimmy Pardo would not want to go. Maybe I'm speaking out of school. I'll ask him. But if you vote for somebody that's not Anthony or Nikki, chances are, you know, then I got to make sure that they would actually want to go. And it won't take too many votes, because here's how you get a vote, is if you buy a ticket, if you're on the cruise And when you're buying your ticket, if you say the number one reason that you went on the cruise is because of the Douglas Movies podcast, and then send me proof of that, then you get to help decide who else is going to be on the cruise. So you got to go to a lot of effort to help decide. It'll probably just end up being left to me, because I'm sure most people on the Weezer cruise, their number one reason for going is Weezer, and then I'm like a nice second, third, or fifth, or something, you know. Dinosaur Jr., Sebado. It's going to be a good boat for people who like music. So, and then holler at me at Twitter if you do any of that. And one more thing before I bring the guests into the conversation. It's time for Watch This, Not That. The number one movie at the domestic box office as I speak is Paranormal Activity 3, which I have not seen because I don't have the kind of time to sit around for about an hour before going, oh! Because that's how long the scares take to come in those movies. I get bored. I'll see it. I'll probably see it because I saw the first two, and you know what a completist I am. The number two movie is Real Steel, which I have seen. So, see Paranormal Activity 3, not Real Steel. This has been Watch This, Not That. My guests today are the host and sidekick of the podcast that recently won the top prize in the Earwolf Challenge. The Earwolf Podcast Challenge was a competition, a reality podcast competition, to determine what would be a good podcast to have join the Earwolf family. Please welcome from the Totally Lame podcast, Elizabeth Lame and Psychic Andy.
Hey!
Hello!
Husband and wife.
Married, yes.
Yeah, good for you. And then we've also got Matt Belknap sitting by as
hello,
well.
Hello.
As often happens in yep. these studio shows. Sam Levine is on assignment. I have no assignments for him. He's just doing whatever he wants to do. So congrats on winning the Earwolf Challenge, you guys.
Thanks.
Very well done. How does this probably came up during the Earwolf Challenge, but how does the podcast end up with Elizabeth's last name in the title and Andy's just the psychic?
I think because Andy's not in comedy at all, and I was in comedy in New York and needed to capitalize on my maiden name, which is Lame. And so
it's really lame.
It's really lame.
It's truthfully lame.
And I just want all the assholes in high school to know who I am when we have success.
Well, let me spell it for them so they can find it.
Okay, good.
A-S-S-H-O-L-A-I-M-E. But you pronounce it lame, and so it's the Totally Lame podcast.
Yeah.
I totally get it. I'm totally on board.
Awesome.
The show is you always a guest every time?
Oh, except the very first episode was the two of us, and then I think annually we have a look back at the year, so we've had one of those.
Yeah.
So there have been two episodes, just the two
is
of
the
us.
Looking back just verbal reminiscences, or do you play clips?
We do a little clip clips. Down, yeah.
Wow! That's a great idea, Matt Belknap.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
Oh, you're right. That's too much trouble. But that would be fun for a show like yours, I think, because then the two of you could sort of discuss which clips you're going to, you know, Matt and I barely speak to each other. So
right, I get that.
We don't, yeah, when you live in the same house, you could be like, oh, remember that? We could play that.
That's all we talk about.
Let me move in with you for a while, Matt.
All right. we'll spend a month on bunk beds, and then we'll see what we come up with.
You don't need bunk beds. Just a bed.
Well, you do come bunk up with beds. Your best stuff sometimes when you're laying there trying to fall asleep. So bunk beds is a good idea.
You guys, lie in bed talking about the podcast. Is that
That's
really
all we talk about now. It's a podcast. Yeah.
But when you're getting ready for that episode, it must be a conversation.
It is. It's fun. It's fun going through and remembering our favorite moments. And
it's a great idea. And for anyone who loves great ideas, my podcast, my great idea is to make the 12 Guests of Christmas an annual event.
Ooh.
And so coming up in this December, I think it's the 20th. It's going to be a Tuesday night. Comedy Bang Bang will be off that week, 8 o'clock. UCB. It's probably not even up on sale at UCB yet, so you got to keep an eye out for it. But I'm inviting all 12 guests that were on last year's 12 Guests of Christmas to come back. Several have already said no, and we'll get replaced with the best people I could possibly get to have 12 amazing guests on stage all at once in a super elimination round of the Leonard Maltin game.
Ooh.
Which brings me to, you guys have heard this podcast.
Yes.
Indeed.
And also feel like you're competitive in the Leonard Maltin game?
No.
Oh!
It's, you know, it's a crapshoot. It really depends. But I have a... I'd say a limited kind of library to dip into because I love romantic comedies. So,
and I'm guessing that Matt did not choose that as a category today because you guys will be playing against me.
Oh,
that's yeah, right, Elizabeth Lehman, Psychic Andy.
I was trying to come up with categories. If I had known that, I would have gone into that.
Oh, that would have been so nice of you to do that for
well,
her.
Well, just because I could never think that's of, sort of categories. It's always a struggle to come up with, whose birthday is it? What's going on?
Right, but that's a fun new kind of thing that I'm trying to do is that I don't belabor like choosing a bunch of, you know, having to have multiple movies that fit a category. So yeah. The category can be like a current category that I've been doing is movies where the dog dies. So you could pick that category if you're somebody that like thinks, oh, I just can think of like five or six of them in my head. Like if that's something that you remember when dogs die in movies, I would think that'd be like a good category for you. Because then when I say the year, then you could kind of narrow it down. And
oh, I'm so bummed that that's not our category.
Because you do know when the dogs die?
I do.
Have you done All Dogs Go to Heaven, the ultimate dogs dying
movie? That one's too on the nose, Matt. I went with... what did I go with? I can look it up right now, actually. I have it right here. I think I didn't go with Marley and Me, but that's probably my saddest dog dying movie, especially recently. Mm-hmm. But
oh, what
see.
About Vacation?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Classic, oh, on the leash on the
yeah.
station wagon.
Yeah. Made me think of another category,
oh, wow.
Movies where a grandmother dies.
Oh, yeah.
And you leave her on the roof of the car for a while.
What's the Cameron Diaz movie where the dog...
Something about Mary. Mary.
Yeah.
That's the dog doesn't die, though.
Yeah, they bring it back to life.
It almost dies.
Oh, that's true.
With
okay.
the electricity.
It does die, though.
Yeah, that's true. Good point. It is dead and then is given the...
Andy, do you think you're going to be competitive in the Leonard Maltin game?
I understand the game. I'm just, my biggest worry is I don't know a lot of the smaller name actors, if that makes
sure.
sense.
Sure, most people do not.
And that's where I'm scared.
Almost every time we play the game, I read at least two or three names that I could not tell you who they are, and I pay attention to that shit, so it's
But when I've heard your guys' podcast, I'm really impressed. Sometimes people know really, really deep names, like...
Yeah. Well,
deep cuts.
Doug,
deep cuts,
you know yeah. some crazy names that I'm always surprised. You always have this knowledge of character actors that's crazy.
Yeah, well, when you know when I'm playing against, maybe we'll do it today. When I'm playing, when I'm running the game and the contestants are shaky on the game and on names in general, like they might even be stumped by like an Evan Rachel Wood, which I would, in my mind, everyone should know who she is, but mm-hmm. I could see where people would be stumped by that. So I will. As I go through the list, I will name something else that they were in that's not the right answer, but I will...
Marilyn Manson.
I will give clues along the way.
No, Marilyn Manson was in her,
theoretically.
Yes.
You know, they probably did some weird stuff, but yeah.
She was pussy deep in Marilyn Manson. Sorry.
Wow.
Can we say that? Yes.
Yeah, you
so.
Could say anything you want, as you probably do on your podcast. That's the glory of it. Is yours listed yes. as explicit?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. I just saw one today.
It's actually listed as pussy deep. It's weird subject.
But Matt, do we decide if it's explicit or does iTunes? Because I can't listen to all that.
We just give it a blanket. We decide. But I mean, and I guess you could just put whatever you could put clean.
Because I'm sure Paul F. Tomcast
is clean.
Pod F. Tomcast. He must say the F word every once in a while.
I don't know, but
he's not that squeaky clean in his act.
He, you know, his last album
swears
was
to make a
swear free.
Yeah, but he got through a whole album that way. But he's not, you know what I mean? He's not somebody that doesn't.
No, he swears
he's not
in
like
life.
Bill Cosby or Brian Regan, right, where he's right. or Jim Gaffigan, who's just decided I'm not going to swear.
Yeah. I think he might be getting there. Actually, I don't know, but I think his podcast he makes a point of it being clean.
But in ad lib situations, he swears right. up a storm sometimes.
Yeah, and there are phone calls in that show that are not scripted, so maybe there's some swearing slipping in there.
Yeah. He didn't swear much as Gary Marshall on Comedy Bang Bang. Comedy Bang Bang, Comedy Bang Bang. So I decided not to say what Dog Died movie I have in here because it's such a good one. I want to save it for actual play.
Oh.
Yeah. So, but because there's some movies where the dog died is not the, you know, it's not the story.
Yeah.
It's not like about a dog dying.
Right.
And those are the ones that are fun to have in here.
Sure.
Because it's like, that's just like Vacation. The dog dying was somewhat incidental.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a series of... it was one in a series of calamitous events.
Yeah.
Moose out front should have told you. What have you guys seen lately? Do you go to movies a lot?
Yeah. Well, this is funny because Andy said, what have we seen? And we both were like, what have we seen? But we've seen a lot, actually. We couldn't remember. But we saw Moneyball.
Yeah.
I saw Drive. We saw Horrible Bosses.
How did you get a off by yourself seeing Drive situation going? And why wasn't it the opposite? Why didn't he see it and you not see it?
I forget how I got off.
So a friend asked you to go. Yeah, it was really weird. And you said that you were going to go see Drive, or what was the other option?
I forget.
And I think it was a movie I wanted to see more than I wanted to see Drive.
So you told her to see.
So I was like, then go see Drive.
Dudes, a lot of dudes love Drive.
Well,
though.
That's the thing, too. I didn't know.
Afterwards,
this was like, I didn't know much about Drive at the time, and then all the hype happened, and then I felt like a sucker.
How did you feel about how violent it was?
That was fine. I think I was in the camp of, I think I liked it, but I started to feel duped by the end of it. Like, I felt like, why didn't people tell me that this is actually, like, almost, by the end it felt like it had turned into, like, a parody of movies.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't think that, maybe for you it was parody, and for me it was just standard issue kind of stuff. Like, it just sort of kind of ended in a very generic sort of way. For a movie that, the idea is it's supposed to be kind of cutting edge.
Right, right. Well, yeah, exactly.
It just becomes more just, you know, normal as it goes along. Like,
yeah, I felt like, and actually I went with Janet Varney, so, and we both felt the same way. And then we were both like, why did no one tell us? But like the first third felt like, oh, okay, I get what this movie is. It's going to be great. The second third, there started to be, you know, those long shots, like the shot where he like scrunches his fist up and the leather like squeaks when he's angry, where I was like, okay, they're getting a little self-indulgent. And then the last part of it, I was like, oh, joke's on us. They're actually like throwing this and all the violence and everything in your face because it's like a commentary on movies. But no one else thought
you got
that.
You got a lot more out of it than I did, and a little bit more out of it than Andy or Matt got. Because they haven't endured it.
Thank you for not throwing any explicit spoilers, because I do want to see it.
I'd watch it on cable again, for sure.
Yeah.
Like, people don't understand when I say that it's disappointing or not that great, that is, I'm also not saying it's a terrible movie.
Right, right, right. You know? It's just, yeah, it got really hyped. I will say, Ryan Gosling is not hard for a lady to look at for an hour.
The whole cast of he and everyone else in Ides of March, you know, that Evan Rachel Wood, Marissa Tomei, it's a pretty good looking cast. And that's another one that I just had an argument today with a guy who thinks it's the greatest movie ever. And I was just like, there's not a single, I did not learn a thing about politics watching a movie about politics.
Oh,
and
really?
I'm an idiot when it comes to politics. Like, I'm also an idiot when it comes to baseball, but I feel like I learned some shit watching Moneyball.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah.
And it was fascinating. And Ides of March was boring. Like, I just did not get into it hardly at all. Like, a couple little scene here or there. Because everyone was talking about how noir and slick it is, and it's not. It's not. It's just dull to me. But, again, great cast, all doing a good job. Would probably sit mesmerized by it on cable. But when you're in a movie theater, like Matt with the kid and everything, like when you're in a movie theater and something's boring you, that must be so frustrating.
Because
you kind of you bet on that movie.
Yeah.
You know, you took a chance, like this better be the thing, because I don't get to do this very often.
I do so much research and talk to anybody I can and like make sure this is good before you commit to it. Like, I think the last thing I saw was Crazy Stupid Love. Is that what it's called? Stupid.
Wow.
Something.
Another
yeah,
Gosling.
Crazy Stupid
movie.
Love. Oh, yeah. Gosling again, yeah.
And I liked it.
Yeah.
But that's the flip side of what you were saying, though, is that when you only see like a few movies in the theater, I think you're I'm less critical than I used to be, because I'm like, hey, I'm just out. This is fun. Like,
yeah. So if something's fair, you think it's good.
Yeah.
And if
like,
something's
that's not
poor,
the greatest
you
movie.
Think it's awful.
Yeah,
like, you know,
yeah,
like
yeah.
it, like it just, right. the curve it, works
it,
that way.
It just has to be a little bit on the good side of 50% in my head. And then I'm like, great, I had a good time.
Well, that's why you liked Crazy Stupid Love.
Yeah. Because
Steve Carell is great.
He's
Ryan
great.
Gosling's great.
Yes.
And that kid, there's no reason to have so much time on that kid
oh, man,
in that
you're
movie.
Right about that. Yeah.
That is the thing that makes it not crazy. A great movie to me.
That's the crazy part of Crazy Stupid Love.
Yeah. Is
how much screen time that kid got.
Yeah. And how you, no matter how much research you did, you probably might get blindsided by that. That it's. Did you think that movie was about a kid?
No.
Do you think a kid is even in it?
No.
It's rated R, and the trailers are just show me your abs and stuff like that.
Yeah, no,
so then there's a kid through the whole movie, and he's in love with an older girl who's a babysitter, and she's in love with
his dad.
Steve Carell.
So it's a weird kid love triangle?
It's like, well, it's a lot like Dan in Real Life.
It is,
also,
yeah.
Which I think is a really good movie.
Yeah, that one not so much for me.
That was DC,
I mean,
wasn't it?
I like sleeping on DC? Pancakes as much as anybody.
Well, that ad, I don't get that ad at all, but I like Dan in Real Life. Dan in Real Life is one that when it's on cable, I can watch it. But
it is watchable.
Ladies in it are really cute.
Steve Carell is, I will watch him in anything. That was the main reason I went to see Crazy
What about?
Uh-oh. What was the one?
Dinner for Schmucks.
I didn't see it.
I'm gonna say negative on that one.
Yeah.
Big time.
Yeah, it's you want to like it so bad. There's so many funny people in
it.
I love the guy from, what's the guy from Flight of the Conchords that's in it?
Yeah.
Jermaine.
He's pretty funny in it, too. I liked him.
He's
always pretty funny, but he's been in a couple movies that are, like, not at his level.
You wanted it to be so good, and I felt like I could see opportunities for it to be good, but it feels like it was just, like...
At every turn, everything Steve Carell does to Paul Rudd just has to have a quick conversation with somebody to solve all their problems.
Right, right.
You know, it's just very easy to get out of all the situations that occur, and yet somehow it never happens. It's like, it's kind of maddening.
They lost me at schmucks. I just, that word was a red flag, no.
You used to be able to not say schmucks. I was telling somebody this recently, probably on my podcast, so sorry, go ahead and fast forward. But you used to not be able to say schmucks on Saturday Night Live. Back when like Franken and Davis were on, they had a sketch.
Really?
They had a sketch with the word schmucks in it. I think they wanted Richard Nixon to say it, as played by Dan Aykroyd, and NBC shot it down. That was in the 70s. And now we got to have a movie with the word in the title when no one cares. Like no one knows what it means, and also they never say it in the movie.
Yeah, it's just a bygone term. It just makes me think a 65-year-old man wrote that movie, and it just like.
Well, seeing it made me think that as well.
I don't know the truth of
it. I wonder who wrote it,
actually. Let me look it up. That's my job here.
You're going to look up who wrote it?
Yeah.
Right. So I can judge them.
Yeah, we can.
So we don't have to drop your voice in saying it later?
Yeah, exactly. Got a lot of comments about that. People are, for some reason, excited about my voice dropping into the show.
It's funny and startling. So, Andy, you haven't... Did you say you saw something recently?
No.
It could be on TV at home.
Yeah, I saw on Hulu, actually, an independent film called... One Too Many Mornings that I really liked.
Wait, you were watching Orgasmo yesterday when
I got about 5 minutes into Orgasmo and then I turned that off.
I don't think I've ever watched that. Was the 5 minutes good?
No, it wasn't good, and it was also a really bad time. I think like I've kind of been wanting to have sex all day with you, and then it on.
Here we go.
And then I think you thought that I turned it on for like some weird reason. And so, like, I turned it on, and there's, like, a lot of moaning in the beginning, and then it was just, like, a bad move, so I turned it off.
Yeah, that's not smooth.
I like that you said, here we go.
Here we go. You can't leave the shit at home.
Sorry.
I'm just kidding.
Okay, it's two people I've never heard of. David Guyon and Michael Handelman. I don't know who those are.
It's probably like a team who got the assignment first and did it, and then they threw a million writers at it, and all those great, you know, Zach's in it. It's really, it's too bad. It
seems like it was based on a French film too, because it credits this French guy.
I'm trying to be less mad when they make a bad comedy like that, because first of all, there's somebody likes it. You know, I just had a guy today tweet at me that I'm wrong about Clue. Like people are still defending Clue,
the old movie Clue.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't surprise me, because people my age loved it as children. And
that's what I'm saying. You know, there's probably kids that think Dinner for Schmucks is awesome.
Right, right.
And they will,
without a doubt,
they will live
yeah.
their lives thinking that, just because sometimes you cling to those and you don't go back and double check.
Like Goonies. Mm-hmm. Goonies.
Or even when you see it
movie.
Again, you still think, oh, I still love this.
Yeah.
Right.
Like last night we showed Deadly Friend, the Wes Craven movie, as a movie interruption over at CineFamily, and... I didn't like it as a child. As a child, I thought this movie's awful. And then as an adult, it's amazing how awful it is. You know, like it's, as a kid, I was willing to sit through it. But as an adult, if I wasn't sitting there with a microphone making fun of it, I couldn't even get through the whole thing because it's paced so poorly and doesn't even feel like like when it was 1986, I think.
What's it called again?
Deadly Friend.
Yeah, I've never even
It's about
it.
This kid invents a robot, and then the robot dies, and then the girl next door is a cheerleader. Or
the robot
looks like
dies?
One. Yeah.
That's hard.
It's going to be hard to explain the whole thing. I'm trying to do the fast version. Because then when the girl dies that lives next door, the cute girl next door, he gets the idea to put the chip from the robot into her head.
Mm. Oh.
But then once he does that, she's more robot than person.
Uh-oh.
And the robot had some scores to settle.
Uh-oh. That's
so that sounds pretty good now that I just described it, but the way it works in the movie is incredibly it's incredible how awful it is, and we had a good time watching it. At one point the clip is online. It's on AST right now. In fact, my thread, the Douglas Movies thread, or no, the
interruption thread, probably.
Movie interruption. Yeah, they have the clip of Anne Ramsey from Goonies.
Mm-hmm.
Is the mean old lady in it, and
she played a mean old lady.
Yeah, it was the mean old lady trilogy of that, and Throw Mama from the Train, right. And Goonies, and Christy Swanson throws as the robot girl throws a basketball at Anne Ramsey's head so hard her whole head explodes.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, now I want to see it because I like Christy Swanson, and also the head exploding.
But just go watch that one clip.
Okay.
And then you'll be set, because the rest of it is not worth all the time and trouble. And, you know, it's one of those movies where everyone's got jeans on that are pulled up too high, and and they're wearing them weird, you know? Like, it's just everything about it is dated and
speaking of that,
poorly acted.
I saw Jurassic Park on TV recently. Mm-hmm. And have you ever noticed
Laura Dern's
jeans?
Yes.
Her jeans are insanely high.
It's the same thing. That's how everybody dresses in...
But I lived in that time, and I'm still like, that is unrealistically high. The waist is too... It's
well,
too
it's like
crazy.
Mom pants or whatever.
Yeah.
Plus, she's really thin, so...
Yeah, it's awkward.
It's
very
unfortunate.
She's real
pants,
thin,
though.
And they're kind of like...
Ballooning
out.
Yeah, that was weird. The style. I recently, Andy was sweet enough to... DVR both Father of the Bride and Father of the Bride Part 2 for me. So I had a big old marathon. And I don't even remember what years those are, but it was like the styles were so dated. The girls wore like a whole wool sweater with a flannel on top of that and like corduroys. It was so unattractive. And it was Kimberly Williams who was so cute. And they I sat there looking at it thinking, that was attractive. That was what people wanted to be like. I remember wanting to be like her.
91 and 95. Mm. So, yeah, 91. Not long ago. I mean,
one was bearable.
Yeah.
Because Martin Short's in it and he's funny.
Yeah. He's hilarious.
He's
in
both. He's in both.
But
he's hilarious.
Okay. Yeah. I'm just saying that then when they just repeat it all over again,
right.
Like the marathon thing intrigues me because isn't it weird? Doesn't it really point out how similar the two movies are and how pointless the second one is if you sit through them right back to back?
Absolutely.
What's the premise of the second one?
That they both get pregnant at the same time.
Who's both of them?
The mom and the daughter, Diane Keaton and Kimberly. I still really liked both of them, but yes, they're very similar.
Wait, so Martin Short is throwing the baby shower?
Yes.
God damn it.
The baby, and he helps decorate the nursery, and... He's hilarious. I love him.
He can be really great. He really can. But he's the victim of, like, I guess you cannot be a great comedic actor and not be in some shitty, shitty movies.
Yeah.
No matter how smart you are.
Yeah, have you talked to your friend, like, and I mean, how do you handle that? Because I'm sure everyone is in something that they hate and they know it sucks, but they can't, can they say that or?
They can.
Yeah.
They can say it. You know, it's different levels of where they're saying it. Like, amongst friends, certainly my friends have said, oh, I'm in this bad movie, whatever. And I could even say, like, to Brian Posehn, Dumb and Dumberer is a shitty movie. And he won't be like, hey. You know, in saying that, I'm insulting a guy I know who directed it more, I guess. But he's probably not going to listen to this. And also, directors get... stuck with something that ends up being
absolutely,
you know, like look at Louis C.K. and Pootie Tang.
Yeah,
you know, if he'd have done what he wanted to, it may not have been the greatest movie in the world, but studio interference made it, you know, awful.
Yeah,
you know, or at least there's glimmers of funny
there
part.
Is, yeah, there There's are some weird, funny things in it.
Yeah.
And then it's just...
Mostly in the first 5 minutes.
Right.
I just, like mostly when Chris Rock is actually on screen.
Well, when Chris Rock flashes back to...
Yeah, that's the funniest thing in almost any movie.
Yeah. Well, have you guys seen Booty Tang?
It's real early in the movie, so we can give it away, right?
Yeah.
It's the sort of thing, if you describe it, it would still be funny to see it later.
Yeah, that's, I think that's true, because it's I've watched it multiple times, and it's funny every time I watch it. Not the whole movie. I've watched that part multiple times.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's Booty Tang. It's Booty Tang. Chris Rock is his dad, right?
Yeah.
And he's talking about when his dad died. And it flashes back. It's a horrible warehouse accident, and it cuts to him in a warehouse pushing a hand truck or something, and then just a gorilla jumps out of nowhere on top of him. And that's it.
Yeah, but that's the whole joke. It's a warehouse accident, and then there's suddenly a gorilla out of nowhere, and then they cut back, and that makes you laugh so hard that the rest of the movie just is sad that it's not... more stuff like that, because you can't have that wild of a twist happen again.
No, you can only do the gorilla on
you
the
can only
bed.
Do that so once. That's the whole movie. Every few scenes a gorilla attacks somebody out of nowhere. So I don't know what we were talking about, but that sure was
hygiene.
That sure was fun.
Hygiene.
Not hijinks, hygiene.
Yes.
Oh, and then we got into the Father of the Bride movies. Oh, let me just say, like, I haven't seen The Big Year yet with three very funny dudes, Owen Wilson, Jack Black, and Steve Martin.
That sat on a shelf, because I was just looking at that today on IMDb. That was 2010.
They're doing stuff to promote it together, though, so they're probably all happy with it. It got a pretty good rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh,
I think
good.
So.
Yeah.
But I still, as much as I like them, I still have been burned too many times by them as individuals, and I've never been satisfied with a movie about bird watching. Not once in my life. And I just worry that that's going to remain consistent if I go see it. Plus, it's rated PG. It's going to be on airplanes in 4 months.
That's when they get you captive on a big bird.
There you go.
Yeah, watching. That's the perfect place for a bird watching movie.
Bird watchers are ornithopes.
Ornithologists?
No, that's what's studying that? It, right? Yeah. Isn't there a difference between watching and studying?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
You know, actually reading a book or just looking at it through binoculars? they should take ornithology and enthusiast and put them together somehow. Ornithist.
Yeah.
Or enthusiasm. I don't have any ornithusiasm for this movie. But I like all three of those guys. But the reason I flashed on that is because Steve Martin is possibly the biggest offender of being in some of the greatest comedies and some of the worst comedies of all
time. Well, when was the last
time
he was in a good movie? But what?
Father of the Bride Part 2.
How far back do you have to go?
What about?
She goes back to two. I go back to one.
It's Complicated? You liked that, right?
Oh, I really did.
Ooh. I found that extremely tolerable. But mostly because Alec Baldwin. Mostly because Alec Baldwin.
I think
he's a lot funnier than Steve Martin in that.
Did Nancy Myers do? I know she did. So I'm just I'm really
you're just
digging.
A Nancy Myers nut.
Yeah, I guess so.
You loved she did it with her husband a lot of them, and now she does them on her own.
Oh,
so it's Complicated. She was out. On
I look
her
forward
own.
To that.
Well,
someday.
I think It's Complicated was kind of based on her breakup with her husband, from what I understand.
Oh, yeah.
It had to be based on somebody that's Charles extremely Shire. Successful and has a lot of money and isn't afraid to show people all of that in a time of very poor.
Yeah,
very
yeah,
poor
that
economy.
Because
her crisis through the whole movie is redecorating the kitchen or having
I
the
know.
Kitchen remodeled is like a hassle for her. Like, oh, what do I do?
And did you see how nice it turned out?
It turned out really nice.
Beautiful.
Pretty nice at the beginning, as far as I'm concerned.
That's
like
true.
That house and the whole house is just ridiculously huge and awesome. But yeah, it's a fun escape, kind of, to
it's
see those movies.
Totally. Like, the scene where she's with all of her girlfriends. I literally, after the movie, I called my girlfriends and I was like, we're doing a wine night. Like, I wanted to recreate that scene. Let's bitch.
Yeah, but in that scene, they all, you know, they all take turns talking. It's not real at all.
And then what was the other Diane Keaton one before that with Jack Nicholson?
Something's Gotta Give.
Something's Gotta Give.
One of the greatest.
That's pretty watchable on cable because, you know, Keanu Reeves plays a doctor, so that's always hilarious.
Oh,
always hilarious.
That's funny. Yeah,
that's interested in her too, right?
But yeah.
Or they date in it?
They kind of do. Yeah, but he plays
a
weird doctor
porn for middle-aged women.
Yeah, but he was like super cool about them hooking up, right? Like They were dating, yeah, but then he backed down for Jack.
Yeah, but Jack, you know, over the course of the movie, bones a mother-daughter.
Amanda Pete.
Yeah. The daughter gives him a heart attack. And while getting nursed back to health in their house, it's the craziest premise.
Another amazing house. Yeah.
Beautiful house because she's a successful writer in that movie. Yeah. And then he ends up with Diane Keaton, and it's all about how he can be happier with her than with that super hot young girl.
Yeah, man, Diane Keaton. Also, is it Nancy Myers or Diane Keaton?
Baby Boom is one of your jams.
Baby Boom is one of my all-time favorite movies. Because when I was like 5, I wanted to have a baby.
It was those two that unleashed Lindsay Lohan on the world by putting her in Parent Trap.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
That husband and wife made the Parent Trap movie that Lindsay Lohan starred in and was great in.
She was so great.
So great.
Yeah.
When is she going to pull a Robert Downey and just stop being an asshole and just go about the business of being a decent performer? Is that never going to happen? Like she keeps getting, she's back in jail for missing appointments. Like wouldn't these appointments, like if she's the first person to complain loudly when a song goes, I've got it on lockup, like Lindsay Lohan is in a rap and she complained about that. Like she tried to sue or something.
From prison. Really? She complained about it.
Yeah. Like she's like, this is hurting my reputation. Well, why not show up at your appointments and then never, and get this behind you. That'll help your reputation a lot more than complaining that you're a national punchline.
Andy and I have a theory about girls like her, because Andy's in the music business, so it's sort of, you know, you see the girls who start really young and have tons of fame really young, and guys, I guess, when everyone says yes to you from a very young age, you have a completely distorted view of, like, what you can get away with or... What there are no consequences ever, so I feel like that's just. I mean,
I feel like that's like the child star problem in general.
Yeah,
but it seems to me like in her, but that's a thing that can get especially bad when people do start saying no. But she, Lindsay Lohan, her slide, she managed to make that happen while also getting whatever she wants. She wasn't like suddenly not in demand anymore and then became a complete asshole.
Yeah, she was the shit. Like,
you know, I can't think of a better environment to be on for a young actress in Hollywood than the set of Mean Girls. Tina Fey, Amy Poehler.
Oh my God.
That movie is scattered with women. Like, it's like, it was like the, you know, predecessor to what was going to happen with Bridesmaids, where a bunch of women can get together and make a hilarious movie.
Yeah, totally.
And so that was a perfect environment for her. I'm sure that Rachel McAdams is a perfectly nice person. Like, how could, it's got to just be that Lindsay Lohan's mother and father, especially her mother, are just complete dicks who would just cause her to keep doing that.
Well,
because
they probably like bought into the fame side. You know, it's when you flip the switch from like, I'm going to be an artist or whatever, to I'm going to be famous, like bought into the fame machine. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I guess. I don't know.
Even Amanda Seyfried. Look at her from Mean Girls. She's a big movie star now.
Yeah,
she's doing all right. She's in a lot of movies
I
don't
see.
No, we met her recently. Huh. She did. I do want to tell this story.
Do it.
What happened when you met her?
We went to our friend's. Our friend is dating her sister, who's very cool. And we went to a birthday party at their house, and it's a super nice house. Not pretentious. It was just a cool party. But they did get ponies for the birthday party.
Miniature ponies,
and you couldn't ride them unless you weighed less than 110 pounds. So Amanda was the only person at the entire party who could ride.
They had a scale there?
No, but I mean, it was...
She's a liar.
It was pretty obvious.
She's lying. Man. She's got to weigh more than 110 pounds.
I don't think so. She's tiny.
She's really short?
Yeah.
She's tiny.
Because she's curvy. You know, she's not like one of those emaciated types.
She's... In person, she's itty bitty.
Yeah, I think she's just small...
She's
of
skinny.
Stature. Really?
Yeah.
All right.
She's not sickly.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Well, someone who looks normal on film or whatever, just regular, you know, then like you see them in person, they're crazy tiny.
But she's not like, she doesn't have the cut you know, like,
yeah, I know what you're saying.
Like, she doesn't have those cut arms.
Like, just like, say she's yeah, got a big rack. You can just say that.
Jennifer Aniston. She's got the boobs to back up the rest of the body.
Yeah. That's, you know, like, true. That's true.
You know, like, yeah, when Jennifer Aniston was at her hottest in the first few years of being Rachel, she had more of a figure,
mm-hmm,
and it was awesome. And then,
yeah, a lot of
then show business got a hold of her.
They get whittled down by show business.
Yeah.
Even I feel like Angelina Jolie was curvy
She just stops at Mr. and Mrs. Smith for me. That scene, the scene where she's in the bondage gear and then jumps out the window, that's my favorite thing that ever happened.
Earlier, like, is it Gia, the one where she's like...
That's all right. She's so naked in that. Naked in that it's ugly. Like, I don't like nudity that's not supposed to be sexy. Like, okay, nudity that's just supposed to be frank and realistic.
Like, when girls are, like, bending or... squatting. Or...
So you like, do you like accidental? Do you like, my friend's into, like, instead of looking at normal porn, he likes, there's sites where there's like ads that have gone wrong. So it'll be like lingerie ads where like a nipple's accidentally showing and stuff. Is that like
fun to see,
tea?
But I don't seek that out.
Okay.
I didn't, you know, I never clicked on the clip about Nancy Grace's tit falling out on.
Oh,
Nancy
no, I didn't see that either.
Absolutely.
I had no interest in seeing that.
Yeah. The last thing I'm going to click on.
You guys missed out.
Yeah. You saw it?
It was hot.
How much came out of there?
No, I didn't see it. Okay. I don't know.
What about, did you see Foxfire? When, like, I think Angelina Jolie was like 20 or something. It's like a weird, rare movie. I happened to work for the company that produced it. And she pulls her shirt off in it, and she's just like, boom.
Boom.
You haven't seen that?
I think she did a lot of nudity early on. Wasn't she kind of naked in a movie with Antonio Banderas you know, she's done
her
share.
Yeah, she wasn't afraid of it.
No.
I don't know what...
But like in Mr. and Mrs. Smith, she's always just got sexy outfits on, yeah, and it's all under control, and she's...
But I don't like
she
that
looks great.
Overdone. Like, what was the one, The Tourist? Like, I saw that trailer, and she's like too much. Like, it's too much.
Too intense.
Yeah, like she's... Subtly. If you're naturally beautiful, just...
Be natural.
Well, that was the thing in the beginning, too. She was so naturally beautiful. Right. Maybe she had a little work done. She's older.
She looks kind of hacked up.
Yeah.
I have to say, when you were talking about these movies, like, the hottest movie I've ever seen, the movie that, like, was the hottest to me was Stealing Home. Do you guys remember that? And there was a kid. Jodie Foster was in it, and the young kid and that she babysat.
Baseball.
She's
yes.
her baby's...
She's his
babysitter,
and then they start hooking up, but he's like, he's a novice, and she, it's really good.
So Jodie Foster?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's weird.
Is it Jodie Foster?
Oh, I'm thinking of Summer Catch with Jessica Biel.
Oh.
And there's only so many romantic baseball movies. But I went, the Stealing Home, now I'm intrigued.
It sounds like it's the situation that it's not like anybody, there's not, the
well,
cast was not
actually,
what got you going.
The scene that really spoke to me, and I was younger, I mean, but that was the scene where he loses his virginity, but it doesn't show a lot, but it's just how like awkward they are, but obviously they're really, you know, in that teenage like.
But wait,
20.
She's way older than him, right?
No, this he doesn't. He loses his virginity to another girl.
Let me tell you what Leonard Maltin how he describes
oh,
it.
Oh yes, please.
Has been baseball player is summoned home to take care of the ashes of an old friend who killed herself. Sexy. Story flashes back to his relationship with her at several ages. Earnest but pat, semi-autobiographical script by the directors, Stephen Campman and Will Addis, is helped immeasurably by Foster's wise, outstanding performance as the late friend, a troubled free spirit.
Wait, how old is she in this? When was this? I was picturing teenage.
This was 1988.
Oh, so she's like an
young
adult.
She's playing like an 18-year-old in it, right?
Yeah.
She does, yeah.
Yeah. But she's probably older than that in real life.
And there are 12 names. It's Mark Harmon's the lead in it.
Yeah, yes, that's right.
So that's why that movie just is like out of my memory banks entirely, because it's hard to imagine Mark Harmon and Jodie Foster starring in a movie together, because she's always been a movie star and he's always been a TV guy.
Mm. But they don't actually ever have screen time because she is the ashes.
That explains right. it. That's why
she is the ashes.
Oh, so he's walking around with her in an urn.
Right.
And
correct.
Then there's a kid.
The flashback
the kid
is her
is
with
the
kid.
Who's the kid?
Her.
Who's the kid?
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know that he's gone anywhere, which
some
is a damn shame.
Mark Harmon?
No, the kid is named William McNamara.
Wait,
I think he's worked before, and his friend must have been Jonathan Silverman.
Yes, okay. That's right. Yeah.
From the William
McNamara is
movies.
The guy from what was that Sigourney Weaver movie with the he was a serial killer or no? Yeah, right.
He was in Copycat.
Copycat. Is that the guy from Copycat?
I don't know.
Click it.
I'm gonna try to figure it out right now.
I'm gonna win.
It is the guy from Copycat.
Nice.
That movie's awesome, by the way.
So he did go on to do that. At least that.
What was the rating for Stealing Home?
Oh wow! Now you really got me.
Just curious.
Working,
you got
putting
me,
him.
You got
to
me
work.
In trouble because I got to go backwards on this thing. I'm not good at it. He gave it 2.5 stars. Huh. Yeah. So, but William McNamara, good.
Yeah.
Good pull on that.
He's good. I don't know why he's not around more. He's kind of a Cary Elwes type.
Shall we play a game?
Yeah.
Oh, good. We don't have a theme song. You just gave us one. That was perfect. Wouldn't that be funny if every week we just dropped that in, just her going... just
a faint hum. What was that?
That was me being nervous.
I know. This is going to be exciting. I'm going to wipe the floor with you guys.
Uh-oh.
One of my categories...
I get the impression.
This is exciting because you were talking about movies where dogs die. And one of my categories is sort of similar to that in concept. We got here are the categories. Are we starting with somebody?
Who do you want to start with? Should we start ladies first?
Sure. All right, Elizabeth.
Okay.
You can
and
choose.
Then we'll go to Andy and to me, or go to me to give you a chance to acclimate.
I have to.
Oh, I'm game for whatever. I know the game.
Okay, so we'll go to Andy second then, and then come to me.
Hold on. I'm going to use this weird website again that this guy made to keep score, but
I got the order
got
thing
it,
down cold.
Okay,
I'm pretty good at it
all
now.
Right, good, because that takes the pressure off me. I don't know. Do you do this too? Because like now we're just doing one movie for each category.
Yeah.
So now I'm going to give you a category name, but not tell you what it means until you choose. That's a nice. Little...
Oh, that's kind of fun, but I don't do that. Okay. I like to say what it is, just because I don't want to sit around trying to think of ones where it sounds like it's one thing, turns out it's another.
Yeah, I think this is fun. It's kind of like the $25,000 pyramid where you don't really know what you're getting into. I always liked that.
Yeah, but on that, it's always ends up being. Something that sort of makes sense.
Yeah. Well, this does make sense. I'm not trying to mislead anybody.
Yeah, but
you'll see.
Here's what would happen if I did it this way every week. Everyone would sit there and go, well, that must be...
Yeah,
it makes you ponder it more
maker.
Than you need to.
All right, so don't take too much
don't
time.
Don't ponder.
Just hear this and just go with what you think sounds good. Here, you could choose between these two. Cat people or Goldilocks?
Goldilocks.
This was that was misleading. It's Adam Goldberg's birthday today.
Adam Goldberg movies.
Yeah, with the day we're recording this, the 25th, is Adam Goldberg's birthday.
And, yeah, see, I just call the category Adam Goldberg and get it over with, but that was fun.
I thought it was going to be Goldie Hawn.
Me too.
Oh, that would have been good too.
I thought it was going to be Lindsay Lohan because she's in lockdown.
So, this is a movie that Adam Goldberg is in. There are 12 names. Got 3 stars. The year is 1999. Let me pull some interesting twists in the script, keep it from being a one-joke comedy. And that's all. I think that's all I need to give you. So, 12 names is where we start the bidding. Elizabeth.
1999.
Mm-hmm. She takes notes. I love it.
12 names. I'm going to do 7 names.
7 names.
Came to play.
Go to Andy.
I'll say 6.
6 to Doug. It's heating up.
I think it forces me to go 5. I feel like I'm going to be in trouble if I do, but...
I will say there are some big names.
Don't say anything. No, okay. I say 5 names.
Doesn't mean it's...
Name that movie.
5 names. Oh,
I thought
boy.
That's where this was going.
All right.
I have no idea at this point.
99, 5 names.
I can't think of a single comedy that he was in that would get that much of a rave from Leonard. But go ahead. Give me the 5 names.
Clint Howard.
Ooh, that's extremely helpful.
Yes, it is.
This is a movie directed by Ron Howard.
Wow.
Oh, okay. Give me more.
Vivenka Davis. our friend Adam Goldberg. Happy birthday.
Oh, no. He's got a small part.
Elizabeth Hurley.
Uh-huh.
And Dennis Hopper is that far down.
Whoa.
Yeah, crazy, right? And it gets crazier from there, but that's all you
get. Yeah, that's all I get. Those are five names. Vivanka doesn't help me. No. I don't know who that is.
Oh, it's Vivica. It's Vivica? It's Vivica, but it's spelled differently than Vivica Fox.
Oh, know. Okay. But Vivica who?
Vivica Davis.
Vivica Davis. Okay, I think she's an older lady. 1999. Goldberg. Goldberg the wrestler. Adam Goldberg is that lowly build. It's a comedy. It's got some twists. Keeps you going.
I've got a great hint for this one, too.
And it was directed by Ron Howard. I guess maybe it wasn't. I guess Clint slipped into somebody else's movie. So I give up. I don't know.
I'm going to give you one hint and see if this helps you. It might not help you at all.
But Elizabeth gets the point.
Okay, Elizabeth gets the point.
Hey.
There's a diner called the Silver Spoon in West Hollywood.
Oh, yeah.
And I think Tarantino used to go there a lot, or doesn't, I don't know, maybe still. There's posters on the wall all over the place. Mm-hmm. A lot of them are Tarantino movies. But this movie's poster is up there signed by some of these people, and it's weird because it's a kind of a forgettable movie, but let me give you the rest of it. Dennis Hopper, Rob Reiner, Ellen DeGeneres, Martin Landau.
EdTV?
EdTV.
Damn it!
Oh, my gosh.
Sally Kirkland, Woody Harrelson, Jenna Elfman, and Matthew McConaughey.
Crazy cast.
I ruled out the Ron Howard thing because of Dennis Hopper. I don't remember Dennis Hopper being in
any. It's kind of a forgettable Ron Howard movie, though.
Like, and that, also, the Leonard's being much too nice to it, I think.
Yeah, I don't remember it being all that good. But
no. It's no Gung Ho. All right, so Elizabeth got the point.
Woohoo!
All right.
And I still managed to sound like I know something, so this is fun. So this time, since I challenged her,
yeah,
it will come to me from the person who was not involved, which would be Andy.
Andy. Okay.
So it goes Andy, then me, then Elizabeth.
Okay, so we didn't do cat people, and I'm going to throw Trick or Treat into the mix.
And are you going to tell me which each of these are? Or? No.
After you pick one.
Once you pick, we'll find out.
Cat people.
It's a one-time only fun thing we're doing.
I think the internet's going to be a buzz at this new twist. Okay, Cat People is the movie Puss in Boots is coming out on Friday, the day this drops. So this is movies with a cat or cats prominently featured.
Okay.
All right. Cat
that's
people.
Pretty,
that
that's
wasn't,
pretty yeah. straightforward.
This is kind of like
movie
the
with
dogs.
Either cats or people in it.
I was saying this is kind of like your dog's dying premise where it's like a weird random thing, but.
Yeah, but cats are in a lot of movies.
Yeah, but not just walking by the background.
There's you're talking central figure of a movie.
Well,
a cat.
Like they're
talking cats?
Not talking cats.
How important is the cat that O.J. Simpson saves in Towering Inferno?
Boy, that's a good litmus test. I have to say, if the cat has a name, if they name the cat in the movie, I think that's the kind of...
Well, you know they always do in the credits.
No, not the real cat. I mean, the character.
No, that's what I'm saying. They do both.
Playing.
They say who they were playing and what the animal's name
really?
Is in a lot of credits.
Oh, really? That's
yeah,
cute.
Yeah.
Even in Towering Inferno?
I don't know about that one, but probably because they do mention it by name because Fred Astaire, it's his cat, and he's walking around going, where's my cat? Or no, it's...
Well, then that's important. I don't remember that.
It's the lady who dies. It's her cat. I don't want to give away too much of Towering Inferno.
Yeah. Don't spoil it for us.
Somebody tweeted me something about there should be a movie called Towering Inferno Heist with Eddie Murphy and Ben Stiller. Okay, go.
All right. So,
it's cat movies.
Movies with a cat featuring a cat.
Yeah, movies that have Kat Von D in them.
Yeah. Boy, that'd be a short list, I think. Has she ever been in a movie?
I don't know.
Good question. I'll look it up later. Okay, this is the year 2000. Leonard gave it 2.5 stars. There's eight names. And it's a funny setup, but the results are frustratingly uneven, says Leonard. They are. Did I say there's eight names? Eight names.
That's it?
Yeah.
Hmm. What year?
2000.
And there's a cat in it.
I mean, I have no idea. I'll say seven.
So now it goes
to me.
To what?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, I guess she challenged you. Okay.
I told you I got this.
Yeah.
Finally. It took me a while. You said 7 out of 8?
Yeah.
I'm going to say 6 out of 8.
Okay.
I'm going to... I want to play. I'm going to say 5. Fuck it.
I'll say 4.
Oh, Nelly.
Exciting. I have to say name it.
Okay.
4 names.
As much as I'd like to try to name it in 3, I'll let you know if I know it in 3.
Year 2000, 2.5 stars. Frustratingly uneven. 4 names. Phyllis George. I'm shrugging. Owen Wilson. John Abrams and James, is it Reborn or Reborn?
Reborn? Is it R-E-B-H or R-E-B-O?
R-E-B-H-O-R-N.
Yeah, Reborn.
I feel like I should know who that is, but I don't.
He's always like a warden or a lawyer, a judge, or a grandparent of somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Older looking gentleman, usually wears glasses.
I think I got it.
Oh, I did too.
What is it?
Meet the Parents.
Yes!
Oh, yes!
That's not about a cat.
I didn't say it was about a jinx.
Mr. Jinx. Jinxy. Cat, Jinxy.
Yeah, oh yeah, where yeah, yeah. No, I know there's a cat in it.
I think that cat
is
prominent.
Speaking of an urn of ashes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That too.
Yeah, no, the cat's very prominent. That was a good
yeah,
one.
Yeah, uses the
That
toilet.
Was legit. Owen Wilson gave it away, right?
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Good, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I knew any
Because I was
other
already
people.
Starting to go, when did Owen Wilson have a small part in...
Yeah.
In something like that.
Small, but I think he stole a couple scenes in that movie.
All right, so Elizabeth has a point, and Andy has a point, and Elizabeth was out of that, and I challenge Andy, so we start with Elizabeth and then go to me.
All right, I'm getting down to it. We're down to 2 categories. Trick or treat or husbands and wives?
Oh, I gotta do husbands and wives.
Yeah. This category was chosen because you two are married, and you are on a podcast together. These are movies where the leads are married in real life.
Ooh. Oh, that's good.
Like it.
And the year is 1994. The stars are 2. Not just the leads, but the Leonard gave it 2 stars.
Oh.
It was confusing the way I phrased that. 11 names and let's see. By the numbers, says Leonard. And also... uncomfortably voyeuristic. One part of this movie is uncomfortably voyeuristic.
What year?
Love it.
94. 11 names.
Elizabeth's jotting some things down.
I'm going to say 6.
6.
Wow.
All right.
I have to go 5.
I will say 4.
Mm. Name that movie.
Okay.
So we're going to have a winner one way or the other. I'm out of this.
Exciting.
Look at what we did.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys beat me.
This is their plan all along.
Yeah.
4 names from 1994. You will know at least one of these people, if not 2. Royce D. Applegate.
No idea.
That is not one of them.
Great name.
Yeah. Burton Gilliam. Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Ooh.
And Richard Farnsworth.
From 94.
Doug has a look of understanding and realization.
What's the
on
category
his face.
Again?
Oh.
Husbands and wives.
Husbands and wives are
married.
Oh, I know. Farnsworth and who was the other one we know?
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Hmm. I'm trying to think of Philip Seymour Hoffman movies. Old ones.
Yeah, this is early on in his career.
Yeah, he had a smallish part. But then Farnsworth is there, too.
Who's Farnsworth?
The Gray Fox.
He
was in. He was in The Straight Story, the guy that wrote his...
He's an old guy.
Lawnmower Across the Country. David Lynch directed it. He was in... He was one of the 2... kind of managers of, you know, coach and, or manager of the baseball team in The Natural with Robert Redford.
Right, right. And I feel like he was in a lot of old movies.
Westerns.
Westerns.
Westerns and stuff. Great actor.
I'm going to, let's see, I want to guess.
I think you should.
I'm not zoning in on, I mean, I
want to guess too.
What'd you say about it again?
Okay. Because, yeah, I think that is really, you know, the category is probably the most helpful part of this for you guys right now. You specifically, Andy, because it's yours to guess. I said it was a bit by the numbers, according to Leonard, but and also one scene was uncomfortably voyeuristic.
Oh, one yeah. scene.
Yeah.
Oh.
Is it a comedy or a drama, or is that too big of a hint?
That's too big of a hint. That's a great hint.
I can say no more.
Well, I mean, I can't even think of a movie with him back that far ago for some reason. I know there were tons. I really don't even have a guess.
I will say I don't remember Philip Seymour Hoffman from this movie, if that tells you anything about it.
Yeah, he had a small part. That's for sure, but I can't even
think
of...
I have a guess, but I don't...
That'll be fun. So Andy's...
I think I'm going to bow out. Okay. Yeah, I don't know.
So he says Elizabeth he's wins. Out, so Elizabeth wins
yeah!
the game. But also show off by saying the name of the movie, too.
Okay, this is a huge stretch. It just came to me, though. Is it Fargo?
No.
Okay. No, neither of those dudes are in Fargo.
But that's
give me some more names,
interesting, because...
Give me some more names before you say anything more.
Is that because Frances McDormand and Bill Macy?
Yes.
Yeah, that's not right, but I see where you're going. Okay.
Those two are a couple?
Yeah, they're married.
Oh, wait.
No,
that's wrong. Frances McDormand is married to Ethan Coen.
Yeah. Oh, and it's
or
the
Joel
other...
And he's married to Felicity Huffman.
He's married to Felicity Huffman, who isn't in that movie, right?
But you see how I got confused.
You guys were tripping me out that you were agreeing on that, and I was like, that's
glad
not...
glad you caught that. You, yeah.
We'd have to drop that in later if I didn't.
Oh, my God. I would have to correct myself from after the fact. all right. So, Richard Farnsworth, James Stevens, Jennifer Tilly.
Oh, wait a second.
David Morse.
Oh, wow.
Here's another giveaway. James Woods.
That should give it away.
Well, he's prominent in it.
Yeah, yeah.
Michael Madsen, and then the stars.
Wait, don't say them yet.
Then Mary.
Wait. Oh, God damn it. It's the first movie that popped into my head when you said the voyeuristic thing. And I didn't get a guess anyway. It was Andy's to guess, but it's The Getaway.
The Getaway.
Oh.
Alex Baldwin and Kim Basinger.
Yes.
Oh,
and
never would have
gotten there
that.
Is an explicit sex scene that is uncomfortably voyeuristic, knowing that they're married.
Wow.
Here, Andy, write down on this piece of paper who you'd like me to call a shithead on your behalf on one of those blank spots where it says so-and-so's a shithead
okay.
and so-and-so's a shithead. And thanks so much for coming on, you guys. Congratulations
you so
for winning, Elizabeth. There's
so
no
fun.
Prize to speak of. I guess you could keep your headphones or something. I mean, that wouldn't be allowed. They're Earwolf's headphones. And let me see. All right. That's going to sound weird for me to say that, but okay. And then, I got one. Do you guys have anything to plug?
Just our podcast. And
who's coming
you can
up?
Follow me on Twitter at Totally Lame.
Oh, perfect.
Who's coming up? Rachel Bloom. And Gray Delisle soon.
Two of my favorites.
Yay.
Aunt Psychic Andy and Elizabeth Lane from the Totally Lame podcast. You guys get to be on Earwolf for like a year. That's how long your contract's for.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll decide if they want to keep going with it or not. So I encourage folks to listen so that it'll be a big, big hit. Matt Belknap, you got anything to plug?
Podcastathon coming up in a few weeks. Never Not Funny's 12-hour live charity event.
That's always so much fun. They raise a lot of money for the sleep train.
Smile train. Sleep train.
The smile train.
Yeah,
and
it's cool.
It's an all-night marathon. It's Thanksgiving
hours.
Weekend. You can
25th of November, 6 p.m. Pacific to 6 a.m. the next morning.
Yeah, they raise money like all night long for a good cause. And... for no particular cause other than just a good time, I'll be at the Punchline with Graham Elwood on Sunday, October 30th in Sacramento. And if you wear a fancy costume / name tag, we might pick you to play the Leonard Maltin game. And as always, Nancy Grace's nipple is a shithead. And my wife is a shithead.
Oh.
My wife.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of Gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room